Hello and welcome to another interview in the series Coffee with Craig. Anne is the Assistant Director of Studies at the British Council in Valencia, Spain. I was thrilled when she agreed to be interviewed because apart from being a really nice person, she's from Scotland and the Scottish accent is my favourite accent. Here's the full unedited version of the interview with Anne, and you can see the edited video version of the interview on our Mansión Inglés YouTube channel.
Have you done anything like this before?
Nope.
You're very quiet. Here's me trying to sort of get you to relax, and you're just... You've done anything like this before?
Nope. Cleansing up by
nope, done nothing like this before. No.
Will you be monosyllabic? Yes.
When did you start here? Because you haven't been here as long as me, but I remember you weren't in the British Council in
2003.
In the centre, 2003. And how did you arrive here? Where did you come here from?
The British Council in Madrid. Well, I worked in Alcobendas, so not in the main centre.
What did you teach there?
Yeah. I started off working in the SEC school. There's one here, like the Levante, the Stanis Carrascal de Cosca, or something like that's called.
Right.
So I worked there in the summer courses for the British Council, and then when they opened the centre in Alcobendas, and I lived in San Sebastián de los Reyes, which is the town that's joined on, I started working there.
How did you get into teaching?
Well, when I left university, I didn't know what I wanted to do. So at the time, I was working in a tourist shop on the Royal Mile in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. Selling tartan dolls and plastic tubes
to tourists.
And then that was, it was seasonal. When that kind of finished about September, October, I then got a job working in Curry's, the electrical shop. And I was the worst salesperson in the world.
Why were you the worst salesperson?
Because I wasn't pushy enough. So if anybody said no, then I just said, yeah, that's fine. So because I got on really well with my boss, who was the manager of the shop, he said, listen, you're obviously not cut out for this, but we do need someone to do the merchandising and the sort of the window dressing. Do you want to do that? So I said, yeah, fine. So that's what I did. So I just had to go in black clothes and put flags and strips and things on washing machines and fridge freezers. And
so then from there, is that where you decided to try teaching?
Well, no, it was a case of, right, what do I want to do? Oh, I fancy going abroad for a while. So in my summer holidays, the year after university, I did a TEFL course at the University of Canterbury.
But that was a means to travel, not necessarily a career.
No, it was, well, you know, I don't know what I want to do, so I fancy going abroad for a while. So after I'd done the course, I still had my student loan and stuff to pay off. So it wasn't until the following summer that I actually came to Spain. So what I did in the meantime, I started sending off CVs to different places in Madrid and got the offer of a job, which had like a 2-week sort of training course before it as well. So that's where I started off.
What did you study at university?
History, modern history.
Okay. And are you from Edinburgh originally?
No, I'm from Fife, from a place called Cooper. But I was born in St Andrews because that's where the maternity hospital is.
Okay.
So, but lived until I went to Edinburgh. Lived in Cooper for 18 years.
And how did you come to be in Spain? What was it?
I think because I'd had family holidays in Spain, and that was kind of, you know, good memories of, oh, you know, Spain's great. Didn't we have a brilliant time? And when I was in sixth year at school, because the way that it works in Scotland, you know, you apply to university after you've done your hires in fifth year. So I applied to university after fifth year, got a place at university after fifth year, but I didn't want to leave school. Mm-hmm. So they said to me, well, if you're going to stay on at school, you're going to actually have to pick some subjects to do. So I did things like O-grade biology, and then they said, oh, well, you know, there was someone who'd come from another school. So one of the French teachers knew Spanish, so he was teaching this other girl Spanish. So he said, well, listen, why don't you do Spanish O-grade as well? So I did Spanish O-grade. So, I mean, I thought I knew a bit of the language before I came, but I didn't at all.
So you did your TEFL course in Scotland?
No, I did it in Kent, the University of Canterbury in Kent, because that was my holiday.
Right.
And what was your first country? Was your first country Spain? You came straight to start teaching?
I got offered a job in Madrid. I didn't stay there very long because the academy was actually run by a German man and the sort of part owner was the same, was Spanish. But they had, in all of the classrooms in the corner, they had sort of speakers so they could actually listen in from the office to what was going on in your classrooms.
I had a similar thing at Berlitz. Yeah. They started taping the lessons and then criticising the teachers. And how they were.
And what they would give you was a paper for every lesson. This is what you've got to cover. And if you went off that, then that was it. So, I mean, I lasted there, I think. I started in September, I did the fortnight course, and I stayed there till sort of the end of November. And then after that, it was like, you know, you get offered bits and pieces of work elsewhere. So it was like, well, I'll make up my own timetable.
So did you know then that you thought that maybe English would be a career?
No, the original plan was to stay. Well, I originally thought, OK, I'll go for sort of 6 months, see how I get on. And then once I was there, it's like, well, everything seems to run from October to June, so I'll stay until June. And then it was kind of about May of the first year, you know, friends that I'd made there were talking about, oh, well, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this and I'm going to go back and do whatever. And it just suddenly sort of occurred to me, oh, I haven't actually thought when I go back I'm going to do this. Oh, I'll just stay. And then it was great because lots of friends came over in the summer holidays to visit and whatever. So, and, you know, they were like, oh, you're so lucky, this is great and whatever. So, and I say by that time, you know, you know where are the good places to work and the places that aren't so great. So, you know, built myself up a good timetable, moved into a different flat. Also another friend, well, a friend of a friend from university, she also came over to Madrid, so we shared a flat together. And so.
And when did you make the decision to come here permanently? Because of by then, I presume, you weren't sure whether you were going to stay in Spain when you were in Madrid.
I don't know whether it was just kind of I didn't not make the decision to go back, or it wasn't a conscious thing. It was like, yes, I like this, and you know, I'm making sort of an okay living out of it.
So how long have you been here in total?
I've been in Spain for 18 years. I'll be 19 in September.
Mm-hmm. And what's been the most difficult thing about making a life here?
Paperwork.
Bureaucracy.
Yeah, it still drives me crazy after all this time. I can't, it just, you know, yeah, drives me crazy.
And what's the best thing?
Well, the weather, obviously. And just kind of like the lifestyle in general, I think I would find it kind of difficult to go back. I've got kind of very much into a routine of, you know, kind of, I don't even like Spanish meal times and things and... And, you know, being outside a lot more, you know, even though what I do really, really miss is having a garden. Mm-hmm. If I could have a garden, then I would be happy.
Would you consider moving out to the country?
Well, yeah, because at the moment I live, you know, half an hour away from here. It takes me half an hour to get here in the car. So another 10 or 15 minutes more added on to the journey.
And you could be in a village around Valencia somewhere.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just not the moment to think about moving house.
What do you do on a day-to-day basis here? Can you sort of tell us about a typical day for you? Because what's your official title?
Assistant Director of Studies.
And what does that involve?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, it's kind of a bit like customer services, but for teachers. So basically to answer inquiries, be that face-to-face, emails, telephone calls, lots of things like that. And then on a month-to-month basis, something that takes up quite a lot of time is the payroll, contracts for all the teaching staff. And then throughout the term, sort of timetabling, at the, you know, the big... sort of timetabling session at the beginning of October, having that in place. Mm-hmm. Organising level testing calendars, a lot of admin. Mm-hmm. A lot of admin.
Do you miss not being in the classroom?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you get the chance to step in sometimes?
I have done a few substitutions, but I mean, there have been kind of
busy.
Yeah, a few and far between. But that's why I really like doing the, you know, the TQS observations, because it's nice to be back in the classroom and to actually see what people are doing.
Yeah, of course. And what advice would you give Spanish speakers who are trying to learn English?
To try and surround themselves with English, you know, whether that be, you know, just watching television in English. Because when I first came to Spain, even though I'd done Spanish O grade, which had been, 7 years previous to that, and I hadn't even gone near the language since. One of my flatmates had a Spanish girlfriend at the time, the first year I was here, and so of course she would sit and watch TV all the time in Spanish, and you would pick up on lots of things. And I remember one friend being surprised, I can still remember this conversation, because someone was saying, oh, what does echar de menos mean? And I said, oh yeah, I know that, I have that, because I can, you know, it's a scene in, I think, in Erin Brockovich, Julia Roberts on the phone, and you know, she was saying, you know, echar de menos, and I was like, oh, I know what that is, you know. So just picking up things like that.
So television, maybe a Spanish, an English girlfriend or an English boyfriend would help?
It always helps, yeah. And listen to the radio as well, listen to music, because if you hear a song that you like, then you know you want to find out what they're saying as well. But I mean, back when I first came to Spain, obviously there wasn't the internet or anything, so I can still remember, you know, like trying to write down the words of songs. And I've never really got into reading in Spanish.
Me neither.
I mean, newspapers is about as far as it goes, but I mean, I think that is the way to really get into a language.
Absolutely. And I've been advising my students to listen to podcasts, because these days if you go to iTunes or podcatchers on Android, you can find pretty much anything according to your interests. If you're interested in fashion, photography, there's usually a podcast in English about your favourite subject.
Yeah.
It's a good way to listen.
No, there are, and there are hundreds of BBC ones as well, because I listen a lot to the Women's Hour, the Radio 4 one. And whenever you download that, it's always, you know, other things you might like.
And British Council podcasts. You've always seemed to me to be very comfortable with technology. I remember your PowerPoint slides and the things you've done in the past. How do you think technology is affecting teaching and how you do your job? Because technology does seem to be very much very talked about these days in teaching.
I think it's inevitable. It has to be the way forward, because everything, I mean, there's all these things, you know, that you see on Facebook about, you know, we were children of the 70s and 80s and we had outside to play with. And it's true, everybody now uses computers and technology in their day-to-day life, so it's inevitable that would come into teaching.
Do you think it's been overused?
It depends how it's used. I mean, obviously, you know, the IWB can't teach a lesson. It's a tool for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the same as a course book is, same as a blackboard and chalk would be as well.
Right.
Because, I mean, the difference between here and the classes at classrooms at the German school, I mean, some of them have got smart boards, we've got the e-beams, but even there with the chalk boards, you can still use them in a way that's going to be useful for the actual teaching, because you've got a board that opens up, it's got two leaves that open. So the ideal thing about that is when you're doing pair work, teamwork, then the children can be using different parts of the board and not actually see what the other team or the other group's doing.
I felt very old last week. I was examining at the British school and they had blackboards and chalk in perfect condition. They hadn't been touched for years, but they were in perfect condition. I remember those. I remember learning with blackboard and chalk. Yeah. I remember the teachers with our back to us writing on the board. Yeah. And what do you do with your free time when you're not working?
Well, we've got a house up in Alcalá de la Selva, up in Teruel, so we go up there quite a lot. And
your garden?
There we don't have a garden, but what we do, well, the whole area is kind of garden, really. It's like countryside and cows walking past the window and things. Yeah, but what we do have is like a great big sort of balcony that's, you know, big enough for like chairs and tables and the barbecue and whatever. So it's nice, you know, it's nice to have visitors up there as well. And when you're there, the great thing is it's so quiet that you can just close the shutters on the windows, you go to bed at night, and then the next morning, it could be 9 o'clock in the morning, it could be 12 o'clock in the morning. You've got no idea, because there's no noise of traffic or anything. So,
sounds fantastic. Yeah. But what do you do to relax? Read? Do you
have any hobbies? I used to read an awful lot more. And now that I've got more and more into podcasts, I actually read a lot less. Because I got a Kindle about a year and a half ago, and I thought I would use it a lot, and I haven't. Because I used to always read before I went to bed at night, but now I always just listen to podcasts.
What podcasts do you listen to? The BBC?
I listen to the Women's Hour Radio 4. I listen to Frank Skinner who has a Saturday morning radio programme.
I like him.
There's a Radio Scotland one as well, Scotland's Funny Bits, because sort of the best bits of the week. There's another one I don't think it's brand new, but I just discovered it. It's called Master Tapes, which is really interesting because it's done in two parts. So it's like the A side and the B side. So it's basically by sort of famous albums. So, for example, there's one about the Waterboys, there's one about Billy Bragg, there's one about Paul Weller. So what they do is they have the person there with a live audience. They sing some of their songs, acoustic. Mm-hmm. And then the first part, the A side, is a presenter asks questions. And then the second part, the B side, the audience asks questions about, how, when, why was this different songs for this album written.
I'll have to try that. I'm a big fan of Fred Macaulay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about what you hope to do in the future?
Well, for example, at the moment, I'm doing a course in ELT management, which is quite interesting.
What does that involve?
Well, it's basically, it's an online course, and there are different modules to the course with a written assignment at the end of each module, and then sort of a final extended written assignment. So when I first started it, after finishing the first module, I thought, oh, this is all a bit too theoretical, and I'm not really sure whether this was a great idea for me to be doing this. And then last week we had an away day, sort of the management team and customer services team from here. And one of the things we were talking about was the notice boards. There are notice boards in all the classrooms, and each one is different, and they're all a bit of a mess, and things are left up there for so long that they just become another part of the room. They become part of the furniture. No one pays any attention to them. Mm-hmm. So the module that we're actually doing now is all about communication, and this week's section is actually focusing on notice boards. And it is actually very interesting to look at, a good example of a notice board, a bad example of a notice board, because they are another way of communicating. Because last week my idea was, oh, let's just get rid of them. We've got the plasma screen, we'll change the plasma screen and put it sort of against this wall so people see it when they come in, and notice boards are, old-fashioned and shouldn't be used. But they're not actually, and it's made me think about, it's kind of simple things like that, but things that are important, because at the end of the day we're talking about communicating with the teachers and with the students.
And advertising British Council products and activities. It's just like street furniture in a way. When you see an advertisement on a bus or at a bus stop or in the underground station, it's old-fashioned advertising, but it's effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we're still advertising the Metro for that reason.
Yeah. And what makes you happy?
Relaxing. I like travelling. Even if it's just, going away for the weekend, even if it's not very, very far away, I like sort of, to get a bit of a change of scene. I like being with my friends and being with my family, especially with my nephews.
Are they in Scotland or are they here?
They're in Scotland. I've got two nephews. One who's 19, so he's a bit too cool to hang out with his auntie. But I've got another one who's 14.
Give him a few years. Are they your five?
Yeah. And I've got another one who's 14, who's still, he phones me, sends me messages. Mm. Whenever I go back, we've always got to have a day where it's just the two of us.
So he's not at the cool age yet?
No, not yet.
Enjoy it while you can. What makes you sad?
I think when to see other people upset or unhappy, and then of course if people that are close to you or friends, family, if people are ill or are having a bad time in general.
Sure. Which person, dead or alive, would you most like to have dinner with or have a drink with?
I didn't actually think about this before and couldn't really think of...
No one special?
Well, I was thinking back about, what kind of, famous people... when I was at university, I got very into the sort of the period of Scottish Labour history that's called the Red Clydesiders. And there was a man called John McLean, who's a bit of an enigma, because he was both a communist and a nationalist. And then he was imprisoned, and his prison records were kept secret. And, so it's to find out exactly, how close was he with Lenin and Liebknecht?
What sort of period was he actually?
The First World War. Yeah, so at the time when, you know, there were tanks and George Square and Glasgow, and they thought that, you know, there'd be the second, you know, basically like the Russian Revolution, but Glasgow style.
In an ideal world, what would your life be like?
I would work 4 days a week.
Why four?
Because then I would have a 3-day weekend. Because sometimes 2 days is just a bit too short. So I'd work 4 days a week. I'd live in a house with a garden. Yes. Uh-huh. And I'd have a dog. A terrier.
A terrier?
A West Highland terrier. A white one.
They're the ones with the square face and
yes.
the fluffy whiskers.
Yeah, exactly. Like the black and white whiskey bottles.
If you could change something about yourself, what would you change?
That I wouldn't need to sleep so much. I've always been the same since I was very, very young.
I need about 8 hours. If I can't get by on 6 or 7. I get very ratty, short-tempered. Yeah. I feel terrible.
I'm the same.
How many hours do you need?
Ideally, probably about 9, 9 and a half.
Really?
Yeah, I've always been the same, even when I was very, very young. If not, I do actually get like quite bad headaches, and I think I was born with bags under my eyes. So.
But the last few years I've changed. I seem to. I'm not sleeping as well for some reason. I'm putting it down to age.
Mm. Oh,
I used
well.
To sleep. I used to get to bed and I was away like a light. And now I wake up early, can't get back to sleep. I remember laying in till 10, 11 o'clock sometimes, and I could at weekends. And now, maybe 7:30, I'm awake.
Yeah, no.
It's not my money keeping me awake.
No, I could sleep for Scotland.
And if you had 6,000 euros to spend on yourself, what would you buy?
Shoes.
Really?
Yes. In all honesty. It would be shoes.
At a guess, how many pairs do you think you have at the moment?
Oh, I really don't know.
Put you on the spot now.
Lots. I've got them in 4 different places in my house. And I should be more organised because I did have, about a month ago when a friend was coming over, there was a particular pair of shoes I wanted to wear. And in the end, I couldn't because I could only find one of them. So the other one is somewhere in the house, but I don't know where.
How can people find out about British Council English courses in Valencia?
Well, we've got the website, which is a pan-Spain website, and hopefully will be getting better, or is getting better, where there are improvements being made to it, and we will have a new version of the website. But all of the basic information is there.
Can they get to the British Council of Valencia through the main website?
Yes, yeah, they just have to click on which centre they want information on. We've also got a Facebook page now as well, so there's information there.
What should people search for on Facebook?
Well,
British Council of Valencia?
British Council of Valencia without the. So British Council,
British Council
of Valencia,
Valencia,
not the British Council of Valencia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. That's more or less it. Is there anything else that I should mention that you could maybe plug? Yes. Apart from the website and Facebook.
Oh, well, maybe about the new things that we're going to be doing next year, because we've done the language club this year. On a Friday afternoon, we've got a language club.
Can you tell us? I'm going to be editing this, don't worry about it. Can you tell us something about the British Council Language Club?
Well, this is something that we started new this year, and it's for students who are in levels 4 upwards, and it's on a Friday afternoon, and it's been really, really popular right from the very start. We've got an online booking system now called Bookeo, so our site is bookeo.com, Valencia. And on that page you can go in and you can book your place. We limit it to 12 places every Friday. And because of this online booking system, it automatically sends the person who makes the booking an email saying, would you like to review your booking? And all of the feedback that we've had about the Language Club has been really, really positive.
So this is a service that is no charge, but you have to be a British Council student to,
exactly, yes,
to
you have
take
to be a British
part.
Council student. Yeah.
And what can they expect? What can students expect when they go along?
Well, because it is done by different levels, what Michelle has been the teacher who's been running it this year, and she's been fantastic. Because I say all of the reviews have been
because
you know,
she used to do conversation classes.
Exactly, yeah. So that's the sort of idea, like a conversation club, sort of thing. So because it's been so popular, what we're going to do is we're actually going to run one throughout the whole academic year. Yeah. But the only problem is we might have to limit the number of times that students can come because, obviously, there are only 12 places and 10 weeks per term.
So at the moment it's running once a week, is that
once
on a Friday?
Once a week, on a Friday afternoon.
And maybe that people should pay attention to see if next year you expand
there'll be more.
And there'll be more available.
Yeah.
And the British Council Cinema Club, is that still running?
What we've found with that is it's been very popular when we've shown the films that are the sort of the set takes or set books for the Cambridge exams. So rather than just having just the film club for next year, what we're thinking is using that time for actually doing Cambridge seminars. So, for example, there could be a CAE seminar on listening, and the next week the CAE on writing using the set takes. And then after that, the students can stay and also watch the film as well, so sort of to join the two things.
So it will be for students that practice for the exam.
Exactly, yeah. So
that sounds good. Anything else you can think of? Facebook page, film club.
The exam seminars.
Exam seminars.
Oh, yes, and a social programme as well. We're going to launch...
Tell us about the social programme.
Yes, we're going to launch a social programme. So this was something we were talking about last week at our sort of away day, about how we could use the centre more. So maybe on Friday evenings, our classes finish at 8 o'clock. So things that we could actually do in the centre, which could be, you know, trivial pursuit type, you know, pub quiz type activities... and also doing specific things. We thought about doing sort of a kind of speed dating type thing for Valentine's, Halloween, whatever. And also trips to the cinema as well, to talk about films afterwards. And also to promote the centre in general, what we're going to do are have kind of like open days, so kind of a try before you buy sort of thing, so people can come along, actually sit in a lesson, have a look at the centre.
It sounds very exciting. It sounds there's lots of things coming up during the summer and after the summer, and people should definitely go to the British Council Valencia website and see what's happening.
Yep, and to the Facebook page where there's more sort of our cultural and external activities as well.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Excellent. Now you can help yourself to a cupcake. I noticed you resisted. Admirably.
Thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Anne. I certainly enjoyed speaking with her. Please help us by writing a comment on iTunes for us so that more people can find our podcasts. And you can also write a comment or ask a question about this interview on our Facebook page at facebook.com/mansionengles. Or send us a tweet on Twitter at @mansiontwit. Bye for now.